Wednesday, January 19th, was full of activity and hopefully some achievement. In the morning, those necessary things of fitting clothes with Lucinda, who's such a dear, and then my volatile friend Jean-Louis, and then back for the big event of the day, the beautification meeting at 2:30. First, there was a picture of the committee. At the foot of the stairs where we always take pictures of state visitors, a good representation, Stu Udall, Katie Lockheim, Ned Owens, Libby Rowe, Walter Tobriner, Bill Walton, Walter Washington, the indispensable Nash Castro, and our three press members, Rudolph Kaufman, Walker Stone, and Kay Graham, and a good number of the other members, lacking, sadly, Mary and Lawrence Rockefeller, who are both in Hawaii. It was a day of reports. General Duke, Engineer Commissioner for the District Highway Department, reported on the joint efforts of the District and Maryland and Virginia to improve the highway approaches to the capital. Maryland will landscape two major approaches, and Virginia has three projects. The District Highway Department will have five new areas, including Doleful New York Avenue, and in addition, 10 permanent entrance signs. And the National Park Service, that greatest reservoir of help, will have four projects at major entrances, and in addition, new blooms all along the lovely George Washington Parkway from the National Airport past the 14th Street Bridge. All of this is the result of a cooperative effort that Mary Lasker got going on December the 1st. In Lyndon's words, she's a can-do woman. And then, the Scotchman who looked like he was right off the stage, with a big mustache and a staccato delivery faster than I could hear, talked to us about the ecology of the Washington area. He's been hired by the Planning Commission to make a comprehensive plan for landscaping the district. But like Lennon's story about the little boy in school who had to do a theme on Finland, whose father in the State Department brought him a whole bushel basket full of pamphlets, I too felt, this is more about the subject than I want to know. And then Sutton Jett spoke on what's coming up this spring. It's some 400,000 bulbs in 67 areas and local parks. And in addition, Rock Creek and the Potomac Parkway. And 15,000 trees and shrubs at Watts Branch, for which Lawrence Rockefeller gave the money less than a year ago. They have a task force of six landscape architects in the National Park Service working on 61 additional areas. I feel there's one part of the government I've come to know this year, and that's the National Park Service. Then Bill Walton reported on a pilot project that's being set up to make an existing parking lot look good with planting and screening. Also on a project to design city street signs with better taste. Stu Udall told us about some legislation that's underway to establish a visitor's center in Washington. And at last, my friend Walter Washington brought us up to date on the school situation. 9 schools have been completed, with 51 more on the must list. He gets right down to people in his reports and injects more enthusiasm, makes me want to go to work more than any one of them. Last, Nash Castro announced the donations that have come in since we last met. The Washington Post and Kay Graham's $15,000, $12,000 from the American Association of Nurserymen, and $10,000 from the Martin Foundation. And Katie and Walter Lockheim, something over $5,000. And I'm very proud to say, $5,000 from Houston, Texas, from Olga Weiss, $2,500 from the National Geographic Society, and others ranging to $1.21 from the elementary school children of Nevada City, California. Stu had already announced the great gift from the Mellons of $409,000 for Lafayette Park, which went direct to the National Park Service. Then I invited everybody in for tea and more talk. It turned out to be cocktails. I thanked Kay for her contribution. Polly for making Green Thumb a reality. Ask poor beleaguered Walter Tobriner to please start cleaning up the magnolias on the median strip on Connecticut Avenue. Met and applauded Mr. Britton of the Virginia Highway Department, Mr. Atkins of the Maryland Highway Department for their swift and good action. Talked with Bill Walton about driving along New York Avenue sometime. And with Libby, whom I believe feels the freeways are giant brontosaurus devouring our country. And then everyone was gone about 5:30, and there were hours to dictate and read and work. Finally, about 10:15, I went over to Lyndon's office to see if I could bring him and his work home, along with whoever was there. He was in his small office with Harry McPherson and Joe Califano. They were talking about legislation and the message to Congress from the 4-year term for congressmen. It was nearly 11 when I got them home, and Zephyr had a good dinner for us, and Lyndon ate entirely too much. He's gaining once more, after 4.5 months of most rigid self-discipline. It had been a full day. Indira Gandhi had been named India's new prime minister. The inaugural committee had wound up its work, and Dale Miller, after leaving a pad of $50,000 for the next inaugural, donated the remaining $25,000 to the Society for a More Beautiful Capital. Susan is in the hospital with bleeding ulcers, so there's much to worry about, to work at, to be thankful for. During dinner, Lyndon talked about the newspapers and their mounting hostility and day-by-day slicing of him. He said, "We're too close to Appomattox. These bigoted Yankees won't let me unite the country. They won't let me be president of all the people." It was nearly one when Harry and Joe left, and unhappily, Lyndon read the paper. If only I could stop the night reading and the paper and save the problems for morning, we'd sleep better. Drew Pearson had a column which said Lucy had failed two subjects and had engineered Pat's transfer to Washington. Both lies. But how do you meet him in his arena? Feeling infinitely sorry, Lyndon and Pat and Lucy, I nevertheless managed to go to sleep about 1 o'clock. Another slug in the personal vendetta, the three-column story about Tony being off on a trip for aid, $75 a day. Story about the first Negro in the cabinet, rated a third as much.